Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Do you remember the features that your first car sported? Did it have push-button transmission, an 8-track tape player, a crank sunroof? When you look at cars today, the list of optional and even standard features can be a mile long.
Lake Effect Automotive contributors Dan Harmon and Mark Savage got to talking about the old days of options on cars and what the future might look like. Mark Savage says he remembers the features he used to review all the time when he started 30 years ago.
Obviously, I've been doing this for a long time now, 30-plus years, and reviewing the cars, the real cars. And technology has changed a lot in that time period. And things that I used to write about, I don't write about anymore because it's kind of common. And now things that are coming into existence, technology, especially electronics, I bet in 10 or 20 years I won't be mentioning that either, or someone won't be mentioning that at that point, because it just becomes commonplace and you expect it on cars. So, you know, things keep changing.
What are some of the things that you used to talk about a lot and that you don't anymore? And vice versa. I mean, we didn't really ever talk about technology, at least not in the same way that we do now about cars. So I'm wondering what's replaced. What you talk about technology now in reviews, but not other things. So what are those things that you don't talk about anymore?
Yeah, the things that have dropped away. The thing that really pops into my mind the most is anti-lock brakes, ABS. When I first started riding, a lot of the cars still had drum brakes or disc brakes in front and drum brakes in back. And then ABS was only on the luxury cars, the high-end cars. And now it's on everything. And most cars have disc brakes front and rear. So I don't even need to mention that anymore because you expect that on a car. Obviously, there were things like manual cranks on windows. Remember those? We actually had to wind our windows down instead of press a button. I used to mention this car has electric windows. Now I don't need to because they all have electric windows. I think I had one car this last year that did not have power windows.
Well, what was that?
I'm trying to remember. I just as soon as I said that, you'd ask. I can't remember, but it was a low-priced car. It might have been a Hyundai or a Kia, the very low, smallest entry-level one. And then manual transmissions. I know you and I both like them, but a lot of the world doesn't care about manual transmissions anymore. I think it's only on about 2% of the cars, and most of those are sports cars or some sort of fancy car that you know, the performance is what it's about, so they put the stick in there. And it's kind of funny because these days the automatic transmission is up to 9 speeds in a lot of the cars now. They're so efficient, they're actually more efficient than the manual transmission. So there's no real reason for it except for the driving fun of having a manual transmission. So I don't know, though, manual anything is gone. I mean, I don't talk about anything being manual anymore because, you know, we used to have to slide the sunroof covers back. Now they're powered along with the sunroof. So I don't know. Unleaded gas, you know, it used to be that I would write if it took regular or unleaded. Well, it's all unleaded now. So if you have an old car that needs leaded gas, you're out of luck. It's hard to find that anymore.
I didn't think that was still even available.
No, I don't think it is. I
didn't see it anywhere.
Yeah, you probably have to get an additive to put into your older car to get that in there to help the cut down on that piston knock and stuff.
It's funny you mentioned, because I do have a manual transmission car, and when people see it, they their eyes light up in some cases. They think it's just either a novelty or they miss it. You know, they really miss those days when you could drive a manual.
Well, right, and I think that may be one of those retro things that may come back on a few cars, especially the, you know, the Camaros and Mustangs and things like that, that people might want to play with them a little bit more instead of just put it in gear and let it go.
Wow, and things like central locking or being able to lock your car with your key fob or not even having to touch it in some cases.
Right, key fobs, you know, who thought of having a key fob years ago? It was one or two keys you had, one for the doors, one for the ignition, you know, one for the trunk. Now your little key fob does everything, or not, maybe not so little key fob. Seems like my key fobs are getting bigger and bigger that they have on these test cars. Sometimes they're almost like having another cell phone in your pocket.
Right. Well, maybe give us a bigger picture view, cars were no doubt simpler not that long ago, 20 years, 30 years. Do you think that they're better now? There's certainly more fun. There's more gadgets and things to play with and safety features for sure. Has this made, you know, cars better, do you think?
Right. It's safety features and entertainment devices that we have in the cars now that have multiplied the electronics. You know, I think the cars are definitely more user-friendly and easy to use, and probably for people who have at least slight handicaps, maybe that has, a lot of these things have helped them. Power seats certainly make it so that anybody of any size or shape can kind of squeeze into where they want to be or put the seat as far back as they want to be. So I think the cars are better, and they're certainly more reliable than they were back in the certainly in the 60s, but in the 70s and 80s when I started doing this in the 80s. There used to be some bad cars I'd get, and you think, oh, man, this is not good at all. But there's very few cars that I would consider to be bad cars or not, you know, high-quality cars these days. So I think the cars have definitely improved. You know, do all the devices help? I don't know. I think, to me, the biggest bugaboo I have in cars these days is the radio systems, because most of them are so hard to work if you're moving in the car. You know, if you're going to sit in your driveway and take 5-10 minutes to figure out everything every morning and get it exactly the way you want, that's fine. But it used to be easy to turn on the radio, punch one of 5 or 6 buttons, and maybe we weren't as picky about the sound quality of the thing, so we don't have to tune in. Gee, am I going to have more of the speakers in the front seat, you know, or am I going to balance it? Am I going to have my mid-range tuned up on it or what? I don't know. To me, that almost becomes a joke on a lot of the cars because it's so hard to do. I'll try and find 2 or 3 stations that I can toggle back and forth from, and some cars don't even have that now where you just have to roll the dial up and down. So if I'm listening to Sirius radio, which is kind of common in cars these days, satellite radio wasn't around years ago, and I want to listen to something, let's say the 70s on 7 that I want to listen to, and then I want to go to a comedy channel that's in the 90s, that's a lot of scrolling on that radio to get to that. So I don't know if that's easier, but it is wonderful that I have all those choices now in the cars. I don't know. Cars are just different, that's all. And the techie end of things just keeps growing.
Well, that's a perfect example of the question I want to ask you, which is, are there things standard now that you think are either get in the way or have become dangerous or aren't necessary and just add cost and aren't really things that should be there as a standard feature anyway?
Well, I'd say most of the safety devices obviously are good, and that's wonderful. The backup camera was one of the smartest things that ever happened, and I think the blind spot warning system is wonderful. The lane departure system, if it's something I can turn off in a car, I almost always do, because as you're driving around town, especially now that we're in construction season, you're always going over lines and around things, and so instead of having it beeping at you or trying to pull your car back into the lane, and you're thinking, no, I'm trying to get around the barricades that are sitting in the road. I don't think that's a necessary feature, and I think all the added gizmos that go along with the radios have just made it more difficult, and I don't necessarily think those are good. But GPS, you know, well, one, we've got it on our phone, but a lot of the cars, that's standard now. It's nice to have, especially if you're on a trip and you're going someplace that you're not familiar with. You can, you know, punch that in and at least see down the road a little ways where you may be headed. Satellite radio is unnecessary but fun. Some of the other new devices that have come in that I probably won't be writing about in 5 years from now because they'll be standard is the automatic lights, because almost everything has automatic lights now that turn on during the day or night whenever it feels that they're necessary. And now they have lights that the bright lights turn on at night if you need them. You don't have to keep punching a button or turning a knob to get that to happen. And lights that bend and go around the corners as your car turns a corner. That's a nice feature when you're out in the country or out on a dark road. Gives you a little bit more visibility as you go around that corner. That's neat. Remote start is nice. I don't use it on any of the cars that I have. I don't know why. I just never seem to think about doing that. But I think in the wintertime, that's particularly nice. I know people in our office that stand at the window and point the thing out front and start their car up and get it warmed up before they head out when it's really cold.
Well, let me flip it around a little bit and ask you what is just gone from today's cars that was something you used to talk about a lot.
Well, that's interesting because I don't know there's too much that's just gone other than the things that are used to be manual and now are power, like the windows and the seats and so forth. I mean, you know, what's gone is, again, a lot of radio buttons to select the five channels you want. I all the trunks are now powered. You don't have to press – you can just press a button instead of walking outside to do that. You know, just nothing jumps to mind that things are gone. It's more things that we have added, like airbags. There's, you know, used to be only – when I started, there was only driver's side airbags. Then it was all front seat airbags. Now there's side airbags and roof airbags and all sorts of things that will pop out. And just manual door locks. You know, you used to have to push those down. Now you punch a button or the car, when you put it in gear, it automatically locks the car for you. So I don't know. I guess nothing just pops to mind a lot that we don't have anymore. It's just the customization and automation of everything that we used to have, plus the addition of all the electronics that just are kind of almost overwhelming at times.
Well, a lot of these things are standard or going to become standard, what are you going to talk about now if we can't just keep talking about new things?
Well, I'm guessing that there'll be some more new electronic things that come in on the cars that you need to mention until they become standard on everything. Something that, you know, I've been seeing more of the last couple of years is the stop-start technology. And when I take people for rides in my cars and that they have not been in a new car lately, they're shocked when we pull to a stoplight and it stops and the engine turns off. And they go like, what's wrong with your car? So that's something that is just, you know, probably in 25% of the cars that are out there now, but it'll be growing and growing, and we'll get used to that, like anti-lock brakes and so forth. So, you know, there's always something it seems like we have to write about, but it is mostly electronics now. It's, as you and I have talked about in the past, we don't worry about the styling so much because so much is similar. It'd be nice to have some better styling on cars, but that doesn't change all that much. And again, as we think of more safety devices and autonomous cars, you know, they're coming our way, whether we like it or not. They are, you know, slowly progressing. It might be that I don't have to review cars anymore, that they're all pretty much the same. They're just an appliance that gets you to and from where you're wanting to go. And it may be that you don't even own a car. You'll call Uber or text Uber, I should say, and they'll come and pick you up in a little pod and take you to work and take you home. You'll only worry about whether the Uber car is comfortable or whether it's got a nice seat and enough plug-ins for all of your devices that you're going to plug in as you let it drive you down the highway.
And worry about whether or not it's going to take out a pedestrian or someone on a bicycle.
Right. And that's it's coming. I know we've had the Uber car that was autonomous and ran over someone recently, but now they're starting to say it doesn't look like it was really the car's fault that it didn't see this person crossing the road. You know, they will be programmed to watch for things, but they don't expect somebody to jump in front of your car, as the case may be, or stumble in front of your car. Yeah, I think autonomous cars, I don't know. I still think it's going to be another 10 years before we see them regularly coming out, kind of like electric cars have been slower to come out than the hybrids because they made sense and you could get to the gas station and fill up. And extend your range. But autonomous cars are going to be here, and then, yeah, we'll just be plugging in our iPhones or whatever we have, and it'll be like the old Greyhound. We'll leave the driving to them.
Well, are these the things that are going to feature heavily in reviews for you is either new driver aid technology, and the other part is, of course, what propels cars. That's going to be evolving quite a bit the next few years.
Well, right, and that's what I do write more about all the time, is whatever electronics have been added, and whether it's a hybrid car, a plug-in hybrid, or, you know, a mixed hybrid where you can fill it up with gas, or something like the Volt that is gasoline that powers your batteries that keeps you running. That's what we'll be writing about, at least for the foreseeable future anyway, and we'll see what comes after that. Maybe we like the Jetsons and we'll have a briefcase that folds up into, you know, that turns into my little jet that takes me back and forth from home to work.
With all this technology, it's easy to get nostalgic. I'm wondering if you have any pains or a little tinge of nostalgia when you look back at cars that were more simple and you just get in and put your station on and drive.
It is fun to think about that from time to time, and we had our car was damaged. and had to be in the shop for a little while. And we had a loaner car. It was a late 90s. I believe it was a Toyota or Honda at the time. And it was fun. I could, you know, turn the dial and find the radio station, plug it in. The windows were crank. It was kind of fun, although the ride was pretty horrible. But the car itself was just kind of fun to drive because it was so simple and easy. And like I said, you had your own key. You stuck it in the ignition and away you went. And there's a little nostalgia for that. And, you know, that's probably why vintage cars will still be popular. You know, those 80s, 90s, 2000, early 2000 cars will be popular in 20 years because people will say, that was fun. I didn't have to program everything when I got into it.
Maybe what's the one thing you miss the most? Even though cars are better today, they're safer, but what is something that you wish for, I guess, or if you could have something from the past?
I know I'm being repetitive, but a simple radio that I can just punch a button and put it on. You know, how many of us listen to 25 stations? Most of us have four or five, maybe two local stations you're going to listen to, and maybe if you have Sirius, you might have three or four other channels that you want to listen to. But I mean, come on, let's don't make this hard. I shouldn't have to think that much when I get in my car just to turn a radio on and turn the station to what I want.
Well, Mark, thank you for coming back on.
That's all right. Hopefully next time we'll have even something new and exciting in the electronics world to tell you about in a car.
I'm sure we will. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Mark Savage writes the auto review column, Savage on Wheels, for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and SavageOnWheels.com. He's also editor of Scale Auto Magazine, part of Kalmbach Publishing in Waukesha. He joins contributor Dan Harmon regularly to talk about cars.
I wouldn't miss just one little piece, especially if I strung it out over several years. The first day I got me a fuel pump, and the next day I got me an engine and a trunk. Then I got me a transmission and all the chrome.